Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome in just after 5 o'clock on a beautiful Friday. Supposed to have perfect weather for Hood to Coast this weekend. So if you're out running around, be aware of the people on the road. And if you're actually participating, enjoy the beautiful weather here. Supposed to be a little cool in the morning and the evening, and then perfect sunny days. So maybe you're getting out and playing some golf before the kids go back to school. My kids go back on Tuesday.
Wow.
Like, it threw me for a total loop. And me being the absentee father that I am, I haven't started any, like, back-to-school prep. And so now I'm all having to cram it, like, in the last, like, 48 hours.
That's not you being an absentee father. That's just you being you.
Yeah.
You are a very last-second kind of guy.
I am. But I feel bad about it now. Like, I my kids,
everything cool is going to be sold out, and they're going to have like Raggedy Ann Trapper Keepers instead of that cool notebook that everyone else has.
Well, like, I didn't realize this. Both my kids need glasses. Well, contacts and glasses. And so I just use the same optometrist. You know, I go to like the one at the mall, right? Like Vision Works or Lens Crafters. I don't know, whatever. Dr. Stein.
Yep.
Whatever one of those is. So I was like, oh crap, I got to make my appointment. Like, my daughter's like, yeah, Dad, I need new glasses. So I was like, oh. So I made the appointment. I didn't realize our eye insurance had changed. Like, I had no idea. I just signed up for eye insurance, everything. So we went down to the eye place this morning, and they're like, yeah, we don't take your insurance. I'm like, oh, well, son of a gun. Been the same company for 17 years. We've had 19 different eye plans.
Did they really change it on us?
Yeah. So now I got
to still be able to go to mine at least. So
see, now good. I got to scramble around and try to find an eye doctor, and good luck trying to find one of those within like 2 or 3 days notice. So that was a whole thing. And then the one kid wants Adidas, the other one wants Nike. I don't know what to do. I'm just down here. Then I got to buy like a Trapper Keeper. This is the thing that I totally flail with. It's like the whole single parent thing. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just trying to all cram it in like within like the next like 2 or 3 days.
I know you're never going to do this, but you should like make yourself some reminders or something.
Yeah.
Or put a note on your, I know you have like a desk, you prep for the show, put a little note on your computer like, hey, moron. School starts this day. Do things more than 2 days in advance.
This is one of those
things.
So
you're yelling at yourself.
You know, it's been a couple years now, and you would think that I would have adjusted to it by now. And I just, it hasn't happened. You would think after like 3.5, 4 years, I would have figured this out doing it on my own.
I think we can accept it's not going to happen.
No.
And how old is your youngest now? What grade is she in?
She's going to be a freshman in high school.
You got 4 years left of doing this, then you're done.
Yeah.
Once college starts, that's kind of, I mean, you
can
help them.
Yeah, they're on their own, right?
Well, you can help them get set up in their first dorm and stuff, but you don't need to go school shopping with them necessarily.
Well, no, because the oldest one, she's graduated college. She's out. So, like, I have nothing to do with her. The Sukanic Scholarship Fund has run out for her. So it's just the other two that I have to deal with.
Yep.
But I had to do the, like, today I sat down and I was like, oh, crap. School starts on Tuesday. I'm like, what do you guys need? I'm like, do we need haircuts? I mean, what's going on?
Do you think that they've sat the two of them together and gone, when's Dad going to ask us about school starting?
Yeah, I think there's an element to that.
Is there like an over-under of August 23rd as the date and you had to pick one?
Yeah, I think what happens is they talk to their friends and their friends let them know like what real households have going on. And then they come home to like, you know, Grapefruit Joe over here and they have to deal with me. I'm like, oh, yeah, better get on that.
I didn't even plan dinner for tonight. Didn't even think 2 days in advance.
No, I haven't. I'll pick up something on the way home. Pick up some steaks or something to grill. I am a very last minute sort of guy, but in times like this, it does get a bit chaotic.
Well, in the trial between Jason and John, which was underneath the Honorable I Everett Ropp,
yeah,
the beginning of the story from John before he lied about what happened is that...
And it was proven to be 100% a lie.
It was an embellishment, as he would say.
No, it was a lie.
But the beginning was that you do nothing until the very last moment, and that his thought was that you had this plan and that you were running around and with 2 hours till your flight to get all this stuff done, which actually still might have been the case.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Although I feel pretty good because today's Friday. School doesn't start till Tuesday. I'm getting a start on it like already.
Well, this you didn't do anything today.
I attempted it though. I had an appointment. I had an appointment at the contact place. Just didn't work out.
All right.
All right. Let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Number five.
You know you done stepped in it when you're turning to Dwight Howard for help, but that's exactly what happens. Dwight Howard has finished his buyout, and he will join the Los Angeles Lakers. Although I guess they're saying that they're going to hold him. I mean, I'm not going to say it hostage, but they're not going to give him a guaranteed contract. I guess they're going to say in his one-year deal, they have the ability to cut him before January 7th when all contracts officially become guaranteed. So basically, they get Dwight Howard for a couple of months on the you better be on your best behavior thing or we'll kick your ass out. Dwight Howard, apparently in the meeting of the Lakers, is painted it as an 8-time All-Star who has hit rock bottom and is looking for a resurgence. Remember, he was in L.A. once before and was miserable there and could not handle playing alongside Kobe Bryant. And if you didn't like playing alongside Kobe Bryant and his drama, wait until you meet Anthony Davis and LeBron James. But I guess I really don't have any other option now with DeMarcus Cousins going down, so... Get ready for Dwight Howard Meets the Lakers Part 2.
Number four.
NFL news and notes coming out of preseason week 3. The Cowboys have said, Stephen Jones, who is Jerry's son, said they're very confident and they're close on getting the deal done with Ezekiel Elliott and that he will be available to play week 1. That seems to be the rumor. And it looks like right now people are saying second highest paid running back in the league will be more than Le'Veon Bell, less than Todd Gurley, but it sounds like all sides are open to getting something done. And I guess they're saying that Elliott's been training down in Mexico and is in phenomenal shape. So that shouldn't be an issue. What will be an issue for the Tennessee Titans is when you're trying to keep Marcus Mariota healthy, you will be without Pro Bowl left tackle Taylor Lewan. His 4-game suspension was upheld for having a precursor to anabolic steroids in his system. He put out a tearful apology and said that he didn't know how it got in his body. But he passed a polygraph test that he put out there, apparently. But he's taking responsibility for it. And then on a scary note for Carolina Panther fans, Cam Newton went down yesterday in the preseason game against the Patriots. He was seen in a walking boot afterwards, and they're saying he has a foot sprain. And they are cautiously optimistic that he will be able to play in week 1. Scary story today out of Minnesota. Ex-Minnesota Viking, his name was Barry Bennett. He played 11 years in the NFL. And him and his wife were found shot and killed in their home today in Minnesota. Well, I guess it was north of Minnesota, a small town. And his son, Dylan Bennett, has been arrested for it. I guess his son was in a mental health institution and was talking about having thoughts about killing his parents. He shot his parents and then took their passport and tried to get on a plane and board it to Mexico. So terrible tragedy today in the NFL world where Barry Bennett and his wife murdered by their 22-year-old son. Yikes.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. And the fact that he had been talking about doing it. Number two. How'd he get a gun?
And was at a mental health facility.
I know. You're in a mental health facility. You're talking about murdering your parents, and he still ended up getting his hands on a 9mm handgun.
Well, I think a lot of people have asked that question for many years in this country.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw this, but the other day, you know, it was interesting that Kenny Stills is the receiver for the Dolphins, and he's kind of become the third, like, figurehead in the whole kneeling for social reform in the NFL. And he was really critical of the Jay-Z deal with the NFL. And the day after that, Brian Flores, who's their new head coach, started practice by playing 8 straight Jay-Z songs out at practice. And no one could kind of figure out why. Well, I just thought it was interesting that Flores came out today and said that he did it to challenge Kenny Stills. He said that he hadn't lived up to his expectations in practice and he wanted to challenge him by playing 8 straight Jay-Z songs to start the practice.
That's not a challenge. That's like a direct shot.
It's like an FU, right?
Yeah.
Although Flores did say that he supports his receiver and his right to kneel and agrees with him. That's the most bizarre challenge I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's a case of actions and words not being the same.
Yeah, that's a big giant
FU. He might support
FU.
Him, but why would he do that?
Number one.
Hey, Mike Piazza looks good up there.
What's he doing?
He's being interviewed at the Mets game.
Is he all roided out?
Maybe. He just looks thinner and more like Mike Piazza than before.
Yeah, it's because he's off the sauce.
Ah.
That's what happens when you stop taking steroids. You lose weight, and you're like, oh, yeah, I've been dieting and eating better and don't have the vitamin S in my system anymore. College football, we're a day away. Tomorrow, we start off the college football week 0. We've got Miami and Florida. Also, Arizona and Hawaii will play tomorrow as well. That'll be the nightcap. Interesting note there, you can pay attention to that because Hawaii will be the week 2 opponent of Oregon State. News out of both camps today, Juwan Johnson did not practice today, but apparently that's not something that's super serious. We're hearing everything from a calf strain to even just cramps. They did say that it was a minor issue. We're not sure if we 100% believe them. We had Matt Premon from 24/7 Sports today, but he did say that Coach Cristobal said that even if there was a game this weekend, they think Juwan Johnson would be able to play. So hopefully that's good news out of Oregon camp. And then from Oregon State, no surprise here, but Jake Luton was officially named the starting quarterback over Jebbia today. And that was to be expected. He was taking about 80% of the first team.
I think
reps.
A lot of what we heard is that Jebbia is not really ready to be the starter yet.
No.
Maybe he'll get some time this season in a blowout or whatever, but it's Luton's team.
Well, it would behoove you to get him some reps. Look, this is still, it's a rebuilding job. And if Jebbia is going to be the quarterback of the future, it would behoove you at some point to get him some action. But at the same point, if Luton really is that much better, and that seems to be the consensus, is that Luton is really that much better of the player. Although we had Angie Machado on today that said the last week or so that some strides had been made there to kind of close that gap, but it was clearly Luton's team. And so they put that to rest today.
And Jebbia is not the 4-star quarterback that went to Nebraska. He's clearly not living up to that standard. So don't expect that unless he's able to really improve his game.
Yeah, but no surprise. Like, there were a couple quarterback battles. But like Jacob Eason was named the starting quarterback up at Washington. Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. So, I mean, these are things that were
Justin
all...
Justin Fields at Ohio State.
Yeah, these are all things that were expected. The Hot 5 of 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. On game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly. When we come back, I want to talk about a redemption piece that I saw today on Sports Illustrated that I found absolutely ridiculous and just beyond sappy. And I just want to know if anyone actually feels sorry for this guy
like
or
sappy
not.
Like in a negative way, you thought it was
yes
too
sappy
much.
In a negative way, and if you at all feel bad for this guy. When we come back, prime time here on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Getting some people that are chiming in, kind of backing me up about my lackadaisical back to school efforts. They're saying that's really on the kids. They should have been reminding me 3-4 weeks ago that they need all these things. I like that. Put the onus on the kids, right? They're old enough. They should have been asking about
it. I'm never in the wrong. I'm the dad.
Exactly. Except I admit that I'm in the wrong all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like
in this moment, you're probably in the wrong, to be honest.
100%. This is 100% on me. But I think, honestly, that's one of my strengths as a parent, and there's not many, by the way, is admitting that I'm wrong. See, like, no parent will just admit that they're wrong. It's okay to say that I screwed up. It's okay to say I don't know. Like, half the time my kids are like, Dad, I don't know. What are you asking me for? You got a Google machine right there. You got a phone. Figure that one out.
Please tell me you call it a Google machine.
Oh, yeah, I love the Google machine.
75-year-old Jason Sukanik.
Do a Google on that one. My other favorite one all the time is this. Hey, Dad, can I do whatever? My response is, I don't know. Can you? Why are you asking me? Does it involve me in any way? No. Is it something in any way that I would find shady or like corrupt? No, then don't ask me. Just go do it.
Hey, Dad, can I go down to Burns, Oregon and surgically cut off a bull's tongue and wiener?
See, now that I would expect hey, can I go do that? But for the most part, figure it out on your own.
What would you say if they said that? Would you give the, well, can you?
Well, I think my response would be, how are you getting down to Burns? I know you're not driving. Plus, then you're going to need me for gas money. That's the other thing.
This, once money's involved, dude, that's where the control comes back.
This was my dad's response all the time when I would ask, like, if you asked something, my dad would say, do I need to give you a ride? No. Is it going to cost me any money? No. Are you going to get in trouble doing it? No. And then he'd be like, knock yourself out. Those were like his three questions.
That last one was probably a lie, but.
Well.
You're going to get in trouble? Well, maybe.
For the most part, you know, that was one of those. In fact, I saw this. My brother tweeted this out. There was an article on Twitter from parents, and it was like, if your kid is struggling with homework, here are five things not to say. And my brother, and this is 100% true, my brother put, my dad used to say, well, there's a dumb kid in every class. Maybe this one, it's you.
Oh, my God.
That is 100%. Look, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I learned my parenting style from a great man. Rest in peace, the great Robert Brown. So I've been noticing lately that Sports Illustrated has been doing like these like sappy retrospect like pieces, like kind of redemption stories, a where are they now sort of thing. They did one on A-Rod.
Okay.
You know, they've been kind of doing these like image rehab sort of pieces. And they had one today on Hugh Jackson.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The great Hugh Jackson, or should I say the terrible Hugh Jackson. He's like, that's not even like a it's not an objective point. He's just terrible, right? Like, there's not a debate.
He was a really bad head coach on the Browns. He was a good offensive coordinator for the Bengals. He was a bad head coach of the Browns.
Yes. And they wrote a piece on him today that was just like the most sappy, over-the-top piece of you-know-what that I've ever read in my entire life. And I think it was meant to make us feel bad for Hugh Jackson. And in no way, shape, or form did it for me.
Now, I didn't read this article, but I believe Dirt and Sprague brought this up yesterday. Is this the one where he said he didn't leave the room for 3 days?
Yes.
Okay. So
he got fired. He told his bosses to get the F out of his office. He said he went home and he locked himself in the basement for 3 straight days.
No lights on, none of them.
No lights. He just laid in the dark for 3 straight days.
What I said yesterday on their show, as well, I'll say again, that's depression. That right there, that is depression to a T. And the way I view this is Hugh Jackson, as we saw in Hard Knocks, puts on this big, brave face because he knows he sucks, but he needs to have everyone else believe that he doesn't suck. And when the job is gone and he doesn't have to do it anymore, all of that comes crashing down, and all that's left is the fact that he realizes he's a failure. So he got depressed. I felt kind of bad for him.
Dude, you see, this is
he's depressed.
But this to me,
depression's a real thing.
As you read through, like he tried to make this thing out to be that his single-minded focus around football was this great thing. He even said, this is one of the quotes that people would text me positive things, and he would say, "Stop texting me. They all had it wrong. Football is what made me who I am." People might say that that's too far. No, it's not. You can't be good at what you do if you don't pour all of yourself into it. He wasn't good at what he did. You can't be good at what you do. Yes, you can. It's called balance. Like, as I read this article, it was like, we have this idea that somehow being like this is a good quality, and it's not. It's like the Tiger Woods mentality or the Hugh Jackson mentality. It's the same thing. But when it works for someone like Tiger Woods and you're really successful with it, then we somehow hold that up on a pedestal.
Yeah, it becomes like the perfect way to act if you want to be great in your profession.
And it's a terrible way to be. As I read this article, in no way did I feel like bad for Hugh Jackson. In no way did I feel that anything other than he had lost complete and total perspective on life. He even said at one point, where is it right here? So a year and a half later, so he fired a year and a half ago, and he says it still hurts. He said it hurts worse than when his heart literally gave up. He had a heart attack, which he doesn't blame on football, of course. No, even though he took horrible care of himself while he was playing football or while he was coaching football, right? His diet went to hell. He got fat. He didn't take care of himself. Whole bunch of stress. Basically, football caused him a heart attack, right? But again, that's what it takes to be successful. He says that this hurt worse than that. He said it hurt worse than when his mom deteriorated past the point of being able to recognize him. She battled Alzheimer's and dementia. So realize that this is a man saying that a year and a half later, being fired and being paid millions of dollars to sit at home with his wife and kids and get to know them, in his million-dollar Cleveland home, that pain is worse than watching your mother deteriorate and die?
Look, this is tough for me.
He even says that it was worse than he watched. So I guess he's had some tragedy in his family.
Yeah.
He's had family members pass away. He says it even hurts worse than watching so many family members pass away. Dude, that doesn't make you a sympathetic figure. It makes you an a-hole.
Look, I'm having trouble with this because in a lot of ways you're right. Like the way he's talking is super unhealthy. And the way that he's portraying this in a lot of ways is really silly. And it shows he doesn't have a lot of perspective at all. But, I mean, I think most people, and me included, you included, have dealt with depression at some point in your life. That sucks. And it comes in very random, various forms that don't make a lot of sense. So if that's truly how he felt in that moment, if he was really that depressed and it felt worse than when his mother died, then I believe him. That means he doesn't have perspective, but that doesn't mean he didn't feel that bad. So I don't want to rip him for opening up and sharing how he felt, even if it seems incorrect to many people, because even if it's wrong, it's still sucks, right? He locked himself in a room for 3 days and didn't move out of a dark bed. Like, that's depression.
Yeah, but this...
So I don't want to rip him for that, you know?
It's a valid point, but this is what I'm saying. This sort of lack of perspective in the world of sports, we've got to stop with the narrative that whether you have success or failure, then in any way that this is good and healthy, right? Like this single-minded approach that here you have this guy that's still saying, no, the way I am. So I'm with you on the, if you want to say that that's depression, fine. But when a year and a half later, if you still think that that's an appropriate way to be, that's not depression. For you saying that's what it takes for me to be successful, that's what it takes to be successful at this level, that's where I can't get on board. Because that's not depression. That's just having your head buried somewhere, right? That's you being so screwed up in your way of thinking that I will not take that as a sympathetic piece. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people when it comes to sports and business and any sort of high level pressure situation that has become an acceptable form to where we're getting a national publication like Sports Illustrated that's writing a piece on that and is trying to use that mentality to paint him in a sympathetic light. And I just refuse to get behind that in any shape or form.
I'm not sure if I blame him for that, though. I mean, obviously, you're in your own control of how you view your job and what's necessary, but I think to your point, that's a societal problem, because in sports, that is what is glorified, right? I mean, you hear stories about, you talk about how John Gruden would never leave the Buccaneers practice facility.
Yep.
And guess what? He won a Super Bowl. So of course he's going to attribute his Super Bowl win to the fact that he outworked every other coach in the NFL. And that's viewed as the correct way to go about it, especially in sports, because if you're already the best of the best and everyone's so good, what are you going to do to give yourself an edge? And a lot of these people, a lot of these coaches and players choose ignoring everything else but the one sole focus. And I agree with you. I mean, I think you need way more balance in life than this. And I think at the end of the day, I don't know if Bill Belichick is like this, but I'm just going to use him as an example because he's been so successful. At the end of the day, when Bill Belichick retires, is he going to be able to look back and maybe even when he's close to death, let's say he's in his deathbed, is he going to be able to look back at his life and say, I enjoyed every single moment of it? Or is he going to regret focusing so solely on one thing for all the years that he coached? Sure, he won a lot of Super Bowls and he was regarded as the best coach of all time, but is there still regret there? And I'm not saying Bill Belichick's like this, just as an example, because I agree with you. You need balance. You do.
I just wish in sports we would stop trying to use this as a motivating tool or a strategy that is widely accepted. How many more Urban Meyers do we have to have, right? How many more guys do we have to have that are just horrible human beings that almost die on the sidelines, that ignore their families, that just basically cut anything else off in their life for the pursuit of football or basketball or anything else, And yet somehow we still try to hold that as a sympathetic figure. I remember when ESPN did this about the Urban Meyer story. Remember when he came back to Ohio State and Urban Meyer's like, well, I've learned my lesson, right? You know, my daughter didn't thank me when she graduated and said that I wasn't around and my wife wanted nothing to do with me. And yet he ends up at Ohio State and somehow we view that as a redemption story. I don't know. There was something about reading that today, knowing what SI was trying to get across for Hugh Jackson. And none of that rang true to me. None of that rang sympathetic. Now, I do appreciate you throwing out the mental illness thing because that's a serious thing. If you're battling depression, totally get it. The idea that you can tell someone to not be depressed, that's a ridiculous thing. Anyone that's ever dealt with depression or someone that has depression, 100% agree with you that you can't just be like, hey, snap out of it.
Yeah, just be happy, man.
Hey, just be happy. But at the same time, we've got to stop taking people like this in sports and holding this up.
It's not just sports. I mean, obviously these stories are never told because it's just regular people, but how many people do you know that just work constantly, right?
Yeah.
They're workaholics. That's their number one goal in their life. And it comes at a sacrifice to other people in their lives. And that is not good either.
It just amazes me. You won 3 games in 2 years and yet it's a shock that you got fired. Like I don't know that you were blindsided by it, but that comment about being more painful than your mom dying or relatives dying, if anything makes me feel bad for Hugh Jackson, it's that. It's that that's your perspective. You are a sad man, and I don't think you're sad because you have depression. That's one thing that I guess I can feel sympathy towards, obviously the depression side of it, but that's just sadness that you've allowed yourself, because that's not a mental illness. That's on you. You've allowed yourself to put coaching football as a more important and a more painful thing than losing your mom and family members. Yeah. It's a different kind of sad. You read the piece, sportsillustrated.com. It's an in-depth piece, and I think he's pretty brutally honest, so I'll give him credit for that he does lay himself pretty bare, and I encourage you. It's a long read, but I think it's a worthwhile read, and tell me what you think about it, or tell me what you think about the just kind of this mentality in general. You can reach us at the Better You Today text line 55305. When we come back, what should we dive into a little bit here? Ooh, I've got hot mural tattoo news. I've got villains in sports. And I even have one of this a non-sportsy variety, but something that I came across today that I found very, very, very interesting. So all of those things when we come back here, though, Lynch with SportsCenter.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Text me your feedback on the Hugh Jackson story, 55305, Better You Today text line. A lot of good stuff rolling in here. People saying part of depression is not having your head in the right place, and once you do slip off that edge, you can take a year. It can take years to get back to a functional balance. And again, I think there's a difference between depression and obsession. Like the depression part of this story, I get. I don't have a problem necessarily with. Well, I mean, whether I have a problem with it or not is irrelevant, but I get it, right? We've all been there. You get fired from a job. It's a bummer, right? When I got cut from the NFL 9 times, it sucked, right? I ended up licking my wounds when I got taken by the contractor and in the fraud, like a week and a half ago. I spent a good solid day just milling around, and I was in a funk. Couldn't snap myself out of it. You know, I get that. Like I get that sort of mentality that you have. What I'm talking about to a greater extent is not a depression, but maybe it is its own form of mental illness. And that is an obsession with sports. And it's not just in sports. We're hearing from lots of people. This guy says that he gets it in the medical field a bunch. I said that he was trying to take a break from medical school because his wife was undergoing breast cancer treatments. And the doctors that he was, that were his teachers, we're saying, hey, you really need to come back. You know, we can't give you any more time off. And he said it's really made him think about that. These are doctors that are telling him that he needs to go back and finish the school or they're not going to allow him back in. Meanwhile, his wife's fighting for his life. He said, this really caused me to take a second thought at my career. And we've getting other people that are chiming in about businesses. But for whatever reason, you know, I always think about this in sports because I saw it. It was part of my daily life. And I did see it with a guy like John Gruden. And I don't know Gruden personally. I don't know how he is away. Maybe he is a great family man. But I'm sure whatever business you're in, if you look at the high-level people, you probably get some of this in every single business in America. But from my viewpoint, what I saw it in sports, and I've had sports be part of my life either, you know, as an athlete or as a broadcaster now for, I mean, gosh, 25 years of my 40 years on the planet, I see this so much in sports. And I don't know if it's celebrated in other avenues like it is in sports, but I do feel like we celebrate this in sports. This is what we want. We're even getting this with Damian Lillard, right? Damian Lillard spent his offseason, he put out a rap album, and I see Lillard clapping back at people all the time on Twitter. And what's the number one criticism you hear about Damian Lillard this offseason?
You should be working on your game, not on your rap game.
Yes. Yeah. And Lillard is like...
As if he's also not taking shots when recording rap songs. There's 24 hours in a day, you know.
But when we hear about someone in the offseason living in the gym, right? Living in the film room. What do we hear about... What is one of the things we love about John Gruden that people hear about him? Just how dedicated he is. He's up at 2 a.m, right? And that he's watching film from 2 a.m. till noon. My point is, should that really be celebrated? If I'm a parent and my kid is looking for someone to kind of idolize, that's not who I want him to idolize. So many times what makes someone great also makes them a really fractured and flawed human being. and we don't always realize it because that person ends up being successful. This is why I brought up the whole Tiger Woods thing. It's easy to point at a guy like Hugh Jackson and say, dude, what the hell's wrong with you, man? Like, why are you so obsessed? You suck. But at the same time, Hugh Jackson made it to the NFL, right? He brought himself up. He was an NFL head coach 2 times over. That guy doesn't suck. He obviously became a head coach, but it's easy to knock him down because it doesn't have success. But if you get a guy like Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan who tears apart their, and I'm not saying that either one of these guys did. I'm just saying someone that's successful like that.
I mean, Tiger Woods kind of did.
Yeah, he did.
It might not be because of this.
Because
but
of that. But
it's,
you know,
all connected.
But
someone
that ends up being an abject failure as a father, as a husband, basically just as a member of society, right? We don't necessarily view that as a bad thing because they have trophies. They have mantles on the wall. They have championship rings. We love that about them. So we'll kill a Hugh Jackson for that same mentality as someone that will praise, let's say, Urban Meyer, right? Because Urban Meyer is the same thing as Hugh Jackson. Urban Meyer has just been really successful wherever he goes. And my point is, you shouldn't feel bad for either one. They're the same person. One's just better at it than the other one.
The way I look at this is a societal issue. And there are certain countries, U.S. included, I've heard Japan, China, kind of similar in this way too, where it's becoming more and more important to people, or at least the perceived importance to, if you're not working hard and constantly, you're not a successful person, yeah. Right? And then you hear about countries like Spain or
Denmark
or Sweden.
Denmark, they're doing this with their programs where they're not even like keeping score in sports until they're right. Like 15.
Where it's a lot less about the amount of work you're doing and the time you're putting in, but the quality of work. And of course, we've talked about this. There's been studies of 4-day work weeks increase the quality because you're less tired and you have more energy to get the things done you need to do. And in those societies, like, I mean, in Spain, right, like they have like 6-hour dinners, yeah. Because they have they focus and they put times, let me rephrase that. They focus on other things and they spend their time doing other things that they view as more important. I think the working mentality is pretty unhealthy. Focusing solely on how hard you're working is not that healthy.
Yeah.
Now, that's not saying the other way is better. I'm sure there's imbalances there that make work really suffer in some of those countries because it's not that balanced either. But you have to have balance, or you have to try to achieve balance. And I think Hugh Jackson, at least in this article, is the epitome of America right now. Is everyone wants people to work 24/7, don't take any time for anything else because all that matters is the bottom line. And I think that's where this issue stems from.
And I think in sports, I think there's no other profession in America where this is more
applauded
yeah. And it's more upfront and we see it. maybe it's harder to see, obviously, in the world of business or in the world of entertainment or whatever, because we don't see it. It's a little bit further removed. And in sports, we have a way to judge you, right? Did you win? Yes or no? Do you have a title? Yes or no? Right? It's easy to say you're a failure. You're not. We have a record. It's hard to keep score if you're a business guy, necessarily, for the general public to keep score on you. But it's real easy to keep score on a coach or on a player. And if we perceive you as not being someone that's dedicated to your craft, not someone that's obsessed, dedicated is different. If we see you as someone that isn't obsessed with your craft, we will murder you. We will cut you off at the knees and tear you to shreds.
Well, didn't
and
we
I think
talk
that's
about
a
this?
Really dangerous mentality to have.
Didn't we talk about this week? And maybe, again, I've been doing Dirt and Sprague all week, so it might be that show, where we found out that X percentage of people don't even take all their vacation days.
Yeah.
I think that was this show, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's part of that, right? They can't take vacation days because it's looked down upon because they need to work hard.
Yeah.
And it's, that sucks. Just more balance, please.
Perspective. All I'm saying is if you reach bless a point
hate,
in your life where something that happens at work affects you more, just and not life or death, just losing your job or your performance at your job affects you more than your mom or friends or family's dying, you need to take a long, hard look in the mirror. And that's not something, if you want to talk about being able to step away from the edge and go seek some help, that's the time to do it. I'm looking at you, Hugh Jackson. And yet that guy will do anything to get back into the game of football, right? That guy would cut off his right leg. Shoot, he'd give up a family member in order to get back in. That's not fair. That was a cheap shot. But you know what I mean. So I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, because that's, you're talking about the loss of a life. I don't know. That comment about the mom thing just bothered me so much. You know, someone that recently lost a parent, I just can't imagine even saying that. And I don't know, I just, that mentality is not something. So young athletes out there, coaches, whoever, I just hope that someone looks at that as a cautionary tale on how not to be versus the, that's what it takes to succeed. Because A, that's not what it takes to succeed. And if it does, if that's what it takes to succeed in your business, maybe it's time to find a new line of business.
One example, Mike Leach.
Yes.
One of the most successful coaches right now in college football.
Yes.
Has amazing balance in his
life. If you told me, and it sound crazy, but I can be Urban Meyer, I can be Mike Leach. Urban Meyer, one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. Mike Leach is a good coach, but probably won't be remembered a whole lot. I'll take Mike Leach every day. May not have the national titles, but I'll take Mike Leach's life and mentality over Urban Meyer's any day of the week.
Yep.
And twice on Sunday. All right, we come back. A mural story about someone that wasn't particularly happy with the way they were portrayed. Primetime. One more segment before we get into Club 1080 and we come back.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
One more segment to go before we get into Club 1080. What do we got? Worst ideas ever. We've got the Bill Walton bike ride. Is it okay to wear your own jersey? I saw something, a guy from the Cincinnati Reds did something, and I'm intrigued by this. And not just your own jersey, but your own clothing. Like, best way to put it, if you play for a team, is it weird to wear your own stuff around, like on a day-to-day basis? Like, when you went to Syracuse Broadcasting School, would you want to wear like a Syracuse Broadcasting sweatshirt cruising around?
No,
it's like there's
I don't even think I owned anything like that.
There's two types of people in this world: those that are totally fine with it, and those that aren't. And I just there was something today I saw in the world of Major League Baseball that I thought was quite interesting. And Michigan apparently is building the safest high school in America, and that's going to need to be discussed. But first, I want to get to mural news here. Now, Larry Bird is about as white and let's just say like old fashioned as you can get, correct? Like,
sure.
Like nothing about Bill Walton.
You mean Larry Bird?
Or excuse me, Larry Bird. Yeah, Bill Walton is not super, super conservative. Great. Now my computer just froze. So I'll just have to do this one by memory because it just froze up on me while I was trying to pull up the story. So someone in Indiana.
Stop looking at porn, Suk, man.
Well, it's the type that I'm looking at. You know, look, we've all got our own things that we're into, and maybe mine's a little bit more on the cutting edge. Don't judge me.
I am judging you.
Mike, I don't even want to know what you're into with your weird shark obsession.
Hot Larry Bird porn you're looking up right now.
Boy, wouldn't that be something? Do you think anyone finds Larry Bird sexy?
I'm sure.
You're going to now spiral me into a whole other, like, weird topic. But, like, there's someone for everyone, right?
Goodbye, mural topic.
Well, no, I'll get
see
to
you never.
No, it just it pulled up here. So
you only have a minute, so make your decision.
I'll get to it here, but I'll save that one for the club. But I'm dead serious. Like, Larry Bird is a weird looking dude, right? Like, we can say that.
Sure, if you want.
Larry Bird is not a handsome man. No one looks at Larry Bird, whether when he was playing or he has a blonde mustache.
Okay, I will say that Larry Bird is not a handsome man.
Did you just now have to look at Larry Bird?
Well. See, Larry Bird playing and Larry Bird now, I think, are very different.
No, they are not.
Yeah.
I'd make the argument that Larry Bird playing is maybe worse than Larry Bird now. Now he just kind of looks like a regular old dude. When Larry Bird was playing, he looked like a janitor from a Stranger Danger commercial. There was nothing about Larry Bird when he played that said, I don't drive a van and I give out free candy. He has a blonde mustache.
That's not his fault. That's the genes.
No, anyone that has ever been convicted of a crime, like a crime against children, I believe has a blonde mustache.
All of them have blonde mustaches?
There was like a meeting. They all got together and was like, yeah, all right, let's all grow blonde mustaches. Like, that's the way that goes down. Okay. It's very creepy. But someone painted a mural of Larry Bird and... In that mural, they covered Larry Bird, and it's just on the side of a wall, right? And it's in Indiana. And someone covered it with tattoos. And it's Larry Bird, and he's given, like, the shush sign. And it was reminiscent of the 1977 cover of Sports Illustrated, like when they were getting ready to play Magic Johnson in the NCAA Finals. So they recreated that, and he's in his Indiana State uniform. But they covered Larry Bird in tattoos.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why, but someone did.
Artistic choice?
Yeah, like one of the tattoos just says Indiana on his forearm. Another one has Hoosiers written on it. There's a Celtics-style shamrock. There's a shoulder spider web. The number 76, which I don't know because the cover from Sports Illustrated was from 1977. And there's two rabbits that are humping.
Oh, I did see this. Okay.
Again, I'm not sure why. Oh, and then there's a cardinal, which is the Indiana State
bird. Are we sure that the rabbits are humping? Is it ambiguous?
No.
Are they close to each other and it appears as if they're humping?
No, they're like mid-hump. Like it's, you know,
there's a thrust going on.
There is a thrusting motion, like 100.
And if he flexed his bicep or wherever this is, the thrusting would continue.
Yes, 100%, okay. Right? This is going down. And I guess, like, someone showed this to Larry Bird, and he had such a problem with it that he fired off a letter from his lawyer. Larry Bird wants it taken down.
Just the rabbits?
The tattoos. Larry Bird is not okay with the tattoos. This is his letter.
Would he be okay with the tattoos if there were not rabbits humping on his arm?
That I don't know. Maybe there's a nice middle ground, but I love the fact that Larry Bird's lawyer had to write a letter to an artist telling them to paint over the tattoos. They said they can keep the mural up, but they can't have the tattoos.
There's a certain level of power that people have that they then make decisions to go to lawyers to get things fixed.
Yes.
If this was of me, I probably wouldn't like that there were rabbits humping on my arm. I'd look at it and go, okay, great. Someone had a mural of me. Cool.
Sure. Right.
He
says Larry's position is that he has elevated himself from where he began to where he is now through a lot of hard work. He has developed a brand that is marketable and he needs to protect that brand. He said the mural as originally painted was a departure from that brand. All of his friends and 98% of his players have tattoos. He doesn't have any problems with tattoos. He just doesn't want to be seen as tattoo guy. Does Larry Bird really think that someone's going to see a mural of Larry Bird and think that underneath his clothes, he has a tattoo of two rabbits humping on his arm?
No.
Or that he has Hoosiers tattooed across his neck?
Well, maybe that's the case. I don't know.
And follow me this.
Wears a lot of turtlenecks, right?
What if Larry Bird really has this? When's the last time you saw Larry Bird without a shirt on?
I mean,
what
never?
If Larry Bird indeed has two rabbits humping on his arm.
Obviously, it has to be since he stopped wearing NBA jerseys.
Yes.
Is he never in a celebrity game where he wears an NBA jersey? Is he going full sleeves under the jerseys now?
I'm guessing that Larry Bird has not taken off his shirt in 20 years.
Showers in it.
Shower, like he's a never nude, right?
Yeah.
100%. He showers in a wife beater and like some cutoff jorts. He is not nude. I just found that fascinating that some just random dude on a random wall paints a mural of Larry Bird with some tattoos and Larry Bird fires off a cease and desist letter. And I want to see it. Like if the artist doesn't take it down or paint over him, can you sue someone for painting a mural?
Well, I bet Larry Bird's going to find out.
Well, I just want the people of Portland to know that if you would like to paint a mural of me with two rabbits humping on my arm, hey, knock yourself out.
Well, Suk already has a bunch of tattoos, so you can just add it into his half sleeve.
Yeah, you can put my forearms aren't covered.
There you go.
They stop at my elbow, so you can just like go with the forearm, which is, by the way, is where Larry Bird has the rabbits humping.
Oh, on the forearm.
Yeah, on the forearm.
So you do some wrist flexing and there they go.
Yeah. So yeah, my forearms are open. In fact, maybe I should call my guy. See my next tattoo.
Well, just let someone do a mural of it instead.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, Club 1080, what do I got? Oh, is it okay to wear your own things? Some of the worst ideas ever. The most secure classroom ever. Or again, this may be the dumbest idea ever. And the Bill Walton bike ride. All of those things when we come back. Club 1080, one more hour to go here on a Friday. Primetime here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever. Or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.